Good morning, everyone. It's good to see you here today. Just want to thank you as well for praying for Dennis Hubbs. We haven't seen Dennis around for a little while, but Dennis had a very severe stroke here a few days back, and anyway, the doctor report was, you know, unless he had come in when he did, he would not be here today. So it was one vein was 100% blocked, the other was 95%, and he was pretty active. And so anyway, just praise the Lord, you know, that, you know, Dennis is still with us. He's home recovering. Those who, you know, saw, you know, anything on the prayer chain, thank you for your prayers for him. Anyway, he sends his thanks as well, as does Karen. She's very thankful. Well, let's just go ahead and pray before we look into God's word. Father, we're just so thankful to be able to come here this morning, and we thank you for your many, many mercies in our life, things that you protect us from that we're not even aware of. Lord, ways that you move in our lives, Lord, and allow us to continue our life here. Lord, I thank you so much that you have, it's been part of your will, Lord, that you've seen fit to keep Dennis with us. Lord, the doctors were amazed. And Lord, I just thank you for that. Thank you that he is very aware that you have left him here for a reason when he was that close. And so, Lord, I just thank you. Just pray that you would comfort him, help him on his recovery, that he would grow strong. Lord, that the things that were corrected there in his heart will mend properly. And Lord, we just commit him to you. Again, we prayed before, we pray the same for Dave Coley. Just thank you so much that he's even with us today here in our service. And Lord, just the way that you work, thank you that the days of our lives are in your hands. You're sovereign. You're in control. We will not leave here one second before you're the one that determines that you want to bring us home. Father, this time of year is a time where we just focus on giving thanks to you. Even as it was already said, Lord, as Christians, we are to always be thankful. We have so much to thank you for. But Lord, we do so especially today. And I just want to focus, Lord, on a passage that will help us to be able to do that. And so I just commit this time to you, Lord. Pray that your Holy Spirit would apply truth to our hearts, where you see our need to be. You know every detail about us. You know where we are right now, what's going on in our lives. You know our relationship with you, and I just pray that you would encourage our hearts and help us to be able to look past our circumstances to be able to really focus on you. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. In his book, The Timetables of History, Bernard Grun writes this, and I quote, "In August of 1620, Puritans from England left their homes and the comforts they had known to begin a new life in the new world. They boarded two small ships, the Speedwell and the Mayflower, to pursue religious freedom in America. Not long after leaving, the Speedwell developed leaks. Most of their passengers and crews transferred over to the Mayflower before the Speedwell turned home. A total of 102 pilgrims suffered through 67 days of rough sailing before they arrived at Plymouth Bay in November. There was nobody to greet them, no stores for supplies, nor homes to buy. They endured the hardship of a very cold winter and the perils of sickness. At one point, only six people were well enough to care for the sick and the dying. By March, Of the following year, only 51 of the original 102 were still alive. And it would be another 2 years before a ship arrived with more supplies. Nonetheless, these brave pioneers celebrated their new freedom to worship as they desired. End quote. You know, as I think about this time of year and the pilgrims and all that took place, the different times that they came across, and especially this one. Again, the pilgrims are a good example for us of thanksgiving. Just because we do believe that God wants us to do something doesn't mean that we're going to be able to do that smoothly. That there's going to be smooth sailing. Just because we're in the will of God, everything is going to go well the way that we think it should. They had rough sailing. They lost many of their family and their friends in pursuing what it is that they believe God wanted them to do. But still, they celebrated. They were thankful to God for His many blessings in their lives. I want to remind us of this morning as we will be celebrating Thanksgiving this coming week. This morning, I want us to look at a single verse that is packed with meaning that I believe will help us to maintain an attitude of gratitude in our lives. To have an attitude of thankfulness, of gratitude, where we are giving thanks to God, is very fragile. And we can lose that very easily. And I believe this verse will help us to be able to kind of get refocused. If you have your Bibles, turn with me to 1 Thessalonians chapter 5. In this passage, we're going to be looking at four reasons why I believe we must continually be thankful to God, regardless of what He allows to come into our lives. The first reason is this: because thankfulness is a command by God. Thankfulness is a command by God. Look at the first part of verse 18, where the Apostle Paul says, "In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks." Now stop there. The main verb or the action word here in this verse is give thanks. That's what He is calling us to do. And this one word in the Greek is an imperative. In other words, it's a command. It's not a suggestion. It's not an option. God commands us to give thanks to Him. To give thanks is to have a humble attitude of gratitude to Him for all that He is. And as we are already saying, for all that He has done for us. Thankfulness shows reverence to God and is therefore the epitome of worship. When we are thanking Him, we are worshiping Him for who He is and for what He's given to us. The single greatest act of worship is that we can render to God our thanks. We can tell Him how much we love Him by thanking Him. He alone is the one from whom everything exists. He alone is the one that has given us life. Everything we have, everything we are, is because of Him. In his sermon on Mars Hill, the Apostle Paul said in Acts chapter 17, listen to just a portion of that. He said, "Men of Athens, I observe that you are very religious in all respects. For while I was passing through and examining the objects of your worship, I also found an altar with this inscription, 'To the unknown God.' Therefore, what you worship in ignorance, this I proclaim to you." Paul's taking an opportunity to be able to give the gospel here And these were very religious people. They had gods for all kinds of things, and they didn't want to miss one. So they had this inscription to the unknown God, and Paul said, that's my door of opportunity, and I'll use that to share who this God really is. He said, the God who made the world and all things in it, since he is Lord of heaven and earth, does not dwell in temples made with hands, nor is he served by human hands, as though he needed anything, since he himself gives to all people life and breath and all things. And he made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the face of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation, that they would seek God, if perhaps they might grope for him and find him, though he is not far from each one of us. For in him we live and move and exist. Our very life and breath is because of God. We would not be here. We would not have anything apart from him. You see, God is the source of every blessing. James 1:17 says, every good thing given, every perfect gift is from above, coming down from the Father of lights, with whom there's no variation or shifting shadow. Again, everything flows from him. Therefore, since everything ultimately comes from God, whether it's our very life and breath or the numerous blessings that we have, because of that, he commands that we give thanks to him. For God alone is worthy of our praise and our thanks. So first of all, thankfulness is a command of God. The second reason that we must continually be thankful to God is because thankfulness is made possible for believers. True thankfulness is made possible for true believers. Look again at verse 18. In everything give thanks, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus. It's the last part here that I want us to look at. Notice here that Paul is directing this command to true believers. For you in Christ Jesus. The phrase in Christ Jesus modifies the word you, which refers to Christians. First of all, to those believers in Thessalonica, but to all other Christians that read this. Again, this is given and directed at us. Although unsaved people can be thankful for certain things, obviously. Scripture is very clear that unbelievers do not honor the one true living God. Neither do they give thanks to him as the source from which everything they have flows. For to do so would mean that they would have to acknowledge their obligation to worship him, which unregenerate men refuse to do. In Romans chapter 1, verses 18 through 21, we're told, for the wrath of God is revealed from heaven against all unrighteousness and ungodliness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness. In other words, they hold that truth down. They can see it, but they refuse it. They suppress it. They hold it down in unrighteousness. Because that which is known about God is evident within them, for God made it evident to them. For since the creation of the world, his invisible attributes, his eternal power and divine nature have been clearly seen, being understood through what has been made, so that they are without excuse. For even though they knew God, they did not honor him as God or give thanks. But they became futile in their speculations, and their foolish heart was darkened. Unregenerate man in himself will not give thanks to the one true living God. Romans 3, 10, 11 goes on to say, there's none righteous, not even one. There's none who understands. There's none who seeks for God. Again, apart from Jesus Christ and His work in our hearts, we are not thankful to the one who has given us all that we have. Referring to unbelievers, Romans 8, 7 and 8 says, the mind set on the flesh is hostile toward God. It does not subject itself to the law of God, for it is not even able to do so. And those who are in the flesh cannot please God. In other words, those who are unsaved, those who have not received Jesus Christ as their personal Savior and Lord, and had God change them to become a new creation, are not able to truly give thanks to Him. 2 Timothy 3:2, we see a list of 19 things that characterize unbelievers in the last days. And one of those is being ungrateful. Ungrateful. Therefore, true thankfulness to the Lord is not a characteristic of people who are outside the kingdom of God. It's not until a person becomes a new creation in Christ, because they've personally received Jesus as their Savior and their Lord through faith, that person can then begin to truly give thanks to God. Thankfulness is made possible for believers, because now we have come to know the Lord Jesus as our Savior. We've been given the indwelling Spirit of God. We have a new nature, whereby now the deepest longing of the regenerate heart wants to not only give thanks to God, but also we see that God gives us the ability to do that very thing, to be able to thank Him, again, for who He is and all that He has done for us in the Lord Jesus Christ. This God-given desire to give thanks to God is beautifully portrayed in a poem by an unknown author entitled, I Thank Thee. Listen as I read. O Thou whose bounty fills my cup, with every blessing meet, I give Thee thanks for every drop, the bitter and the sweet. I praise Thee for the desert road and for the river side, for all Thy goodness hath bestowed and all Thy grace denied. I thank Thee for both smile and frown and for the gain and loss. I praise Thee for the future crown and for the present cross. I thank Thee for both wings of love which stirred my worldly nest and for the stormy clouds which drove me trembling to Thy breast. I bless Thee for the glad increase and for the wanting or the waning joy, and for this strange, this settled peace which nothing can destroy. Again, the regenerate heart is able to give thanks to God for whatever it is that we encounter in our lives. Only a Christian who is walking closely with the Lord can say such a thing. The third reason why we must continually be thankful to God is because thankfulness is to characterize our lives. This thankfulness is to characterize our lives. Look again at the first part of verse 18. In everything, give thanks. In everything, give thanks. God not only commands us to give thanks to Him, but He also does so in everything. In everything. The word everything is a very broad word that's all inclusive. doesn't say give thanks in those things that are going good for you. Doesn't say give thanks in some things and not in other things. He says in everything, give thanks. Everything has no limitations or confines. It includes all that's going on in our life, both the good and the bad. This is reinforced by the present tense of the one Greek word, give thanks. Not only is it a command, but it's in the present tense. We are to be doing this continually, at all times. It's to be a habitual practice that characterizes our life. Obviously, we're not perfect. None of us are perfect this side of heaven. But thankfulness is to characterize our life. We all know it's a whole lot easier to be thankful when things are going the way we want them to go. When the things that we desire are happening in our life. When what it is that we long for the most is fulfilled. Again, it's very easy to be thankful to God over the good things. And we should. We should thoroughly enjoy the blessings that God bestows upon us. Because again, they come from Him and we need to be thankful. But how do we respond when we don't get what we desire? When God allows the difficult things, the bad things, the hard things, the tragic things to come into our lives. See, are we able still to give thanks to God? Notice here that God doesn't say that we are to give thanks for everything. Instead, He says, in everything, give thanks. What does it mean to still be thankful when we experience such things as an unjust employer, or rejection of a spouse, a rebellious child, the loss of a job, financial reversal, to where our nest egg or retirement was once secure and now it's gone? What's it mean to still be thankful to God in the midst of these kind of things? The death of a loved one, the failure of a business, a terminal or chronic disease that just takes away your life, and many other difficult and heartbreaking things. What's that mean? What's that look like? This week I counseled with a grieving couple in our community who came to me and told me how a couple months ago, their 16-year-old daughter committed suicide. What does it mean to be thankful to God in the midst of bad things happening? It's important to understand that God is not talking here about being thankful for the circumstance itself. Giving thanks is not for everything, it's in everything. It's in the midst of our circumstances that God wants us to give thanks. Thanks for what? What are we giving thanks to Him for? I think there's a lot of things, but I think even though the harsh realities of life in a fallen world scream out that God is not good, that He is not sovereign by what He's allowed to happen in our lives, I believe giving thanks, first and foremost, is being able to say, that's not true, that God is not good, and that God is not sovereign. You see, God has revealed in His Word that He is always good. God is good all the time. He is always good because that is who He is. Even though life may scream out, that's not true. And God is always working out His sovereign purposes in our lives. Even though many times That is not what it looks like. And we may never understand this side of heaven why he's allowed certain things to happen in our lives. Although we may not feel thankful, nevertheless, on the basis of God's truth, we have to cling to the unfelt promises and truth of the Word of God. Because God's Word is true. And therefore give thanks to Him in everything as an expression of our faith and our dependence on Him. We acknowledge by faith that God is good. When things don't look that way, by faith. Again, in our study of Hebrews 11, we're to walk by faith, not by sight. We're to acknowledge by faith that God is good because He has told us He is good in His Word. His Word is true. He's present with us, even though we may not feel it. He is sovereignly in control of our lives, even though it doesn't appear that way. And that He will give us His sufficient grace and strength to be able to handle the situation that He's laid out before us. You see, it was this belief that enabled Peter and the apostles to be thankful. To be thankful and to rejoice in Acts chapter 5, verse 41, when they were persecuted in the name of Christ. They were thankful and rejoicing, even in a very difficult situation. Why? Because they believed by faith that God is good, God is sovereign, He's in control. It was also this belief that allowed Paul and Silas in Acts 16:25 to sing hymns together while they're shackled in prison. This is practical if we grab a hold of the truth and live it out. Otherwise, we're griping and complaining. Why in the world? Hey, I'm just trying to be obedient to God. And He's allowed this to happen. You know. You know, Romans chapter 8, verses 28 and 29 is a very powerful verse. And we know. Again, there's that deep conviction of belief. And we know that God causes all things to work together for good to those who love God, to those who are called according to His purpose. For those whom He foreknew, He also predestined to be conformed to the image of His Son. That's what He's about. That's what He's doing in our life, so that He would be the firstborn among many brethren. It's a very powerful verse, but it must not be used flippantly. Especially with those who are going through very severe trials. Here we see that God is sovereignly orchestrating all things in our life, the good and the bad, to work together for good. Who's good? To work together for good, as God defines good. Not as we often define good, as things just working out and our life running real smooth. He's working to accomplish His agenda that we don't always like or properly value. And what is His agenda? What is His goal? What is He about in our lives? God is about not our comfort, but our character. God's agenda and ultimate purpose in our lives is not our personal comfort, but it's our Christ-like character that we will be able to truly give thanks to Him in everything. You see, He wants to conform us more and more into the image of Christ, to bring about our greatest good and His highest glory. Only then can we maintain an attitude of gratitude, regardless of whatever it is that He allows to come into our life. Because we are in Christ, and He is our hope. He is the one that we're looking to. And we always have reason to give thanks to Him in every circumstances. Every circumstance that comes into our life, we always have reason to give thanks to Him without exception if our focus is on Him. And many times we lose that focus. We get our focus off of Him and onto our circumstances, and then we're overwhelmed. This is how thankfulness characterizes our lives. It is truly the fruit of God's work of grace within us. And then the fourth reason why we must continually be thankful to God is because thankfulness is the will of God. Not only is it the command of God, it's the will of God. Look again at verse 18, one more time. In everything, give thanks, for this is the will of God for you in Christ Jesus. We cannot know the sovereign will of God until after it happens. There's no way we can know God's sovereign will until after it happens, like looking in the rearview mirror. Then we see that that was God's sovereign will. But we can know the moral will of God because it's revealed to us in the Word of God. The Word of God is the moral will of God. And here we see that the command to continually give thanks to God in everything is God's will. It's the will of God for every one of us as believers to give thanks to Him. Again, why? Because He's worthy. He's God, we're not. He's the Creator, we're the creature. We are to live in dependence on Him, even though things are not happening the way we want them to happen. Desires go unfulfilled. Our hearts are aching. Things are stripped away. No matter what happened, God wants us to give thanks to Him in everything because it's His will. This is seen in numerous places in Scripture. Here's just a few. Throughout the Psalms, God's people continually thank and praise Him in the good times and in the bad. A lot of the Psalms are heart cries in desperation and pain. Still praising God, thanking Him, again, holding to the truth of God. In Psalm 100, verse 4, the psalmist calls us to enter His gates with thanksgiving, in His courts with praise. Give thanks to Him. Bless His name. Ephesians 5:4 says, there must be no filthiness and silly talk or coarse jesting, which is not fitting, again, for a believer, but rather giving of thanks. We're called to give thanks, to be thankful repeatedly. Verse 18 goes on to command believers to continually be filled or controlled by the Holy Spirit. And one of the evidences that the Spirit of God is truly controlling us in verse 20 is it says, always giving thanks for all things in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ to God, even the Father. Wow. Always giving thanks for all things. It's the same thing. In everything, give thanks. Not for what's happening, but in the midst of what's happening. Why? Because we have a sovereign God who loves us, and even though we can't understand it, He's there, and we can cling on to Him and thank Him that He's at work, and He knows what He's doing. Colossians 3:15, let the peace of Christ rule in your hearts, to which indeed you were called in one body, and be thankful. Verse 16, then goes on, it's a parallel passage to Ephesians chapter 5. An evidence of the Word of Christ richly dwelling within us, which again is parallel to being filled with the Spirit. And an evidence of that is singing with thankfulness in your hearts to God. Have you ever tried to sing with an unthankful heart? You can't really get the words out. Just getting, I mean, you can move your lips, but there's no heart passion. There's no thankfulness that's flowing out of our hearts. Why? Because there is no thankfulness. We're overwhelmed by our circumstances, not by our God. Verse 17 of Colossians 3, whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ, giving thanks through Him to God the Father. Colossians 4, 2, devote yourselves to prayer, keeping alert in it with an attitude of thanksgiving. Philippians 4, 6, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication, let your requests be made known to God. With thanksgiving, let that request be made known to God. Again, a thankful heart. And then Hebrews 13, 15. Through Him, then, let us continually offer up sacrifices of praise to God. That is the fruit of lips that give thanks to His name. God wants a thankful, grateful people. The will of God is always for our best interest. Romans 12, 2 says that the will of God is that which is good, is acceptable, it's perfect. God knows what He's doing in our life. And He wants us to be thankful. Therefore, the only right response to God's will, as difficult as it might be, is to obediently give thanks to God. Even if we don't feel it. Johnny Erickson Tada, and I think we all know about her, how as a teenager she dove in and hit her head on a rock and has been paralyzed all of her life. Listen to what she has to say about giving thanks. She says, I quote, giving thanks is not a matter of feeling thankful. It's a matter of obedience. It's a matter of obedience. Jesus said in John 14, 15, if you love me, you will keep my commandments. If you love me, you're going to obey me. We express our love, our faith in God when we obey Him. As we depend on the Spirit of God and allow Him to control our lives, He will empower us to live out and to obey the commands such as this. He doesn't expect us to just do this on our own strength. We don't have that within us. But we've got the Spirit of God. We've got a new heart. As we depend on Him, allow Him to live His life through us, we will. But see, if we refuse to appropriate God's grace, if we disobey His will, if we get our eyes off of Him and we're just intent on focusing on what we're dealing with, thankfulness will be hindered in our lives. Many things can hinder us from being thankful. Let me give you three quick hindrances. First of all, doubting God's character. What will cause us to no longer be thankful and grateful to God is when we doubt His character. As I've said many times, nothing is more taken for granted than a faith that's unchallenged. And nothing challenges our faith more than trials that come into our life. But it's during our trials that we're tempted to doubt God. And we all do it. Depending on the nature of the trial. Again, it shakes our faith. It shakes us right down. God allows things to test our faith. Is He real? Is He there? Is He good? Is He sovereign? Oswald Chambers was right when he said, the root of all sin is the suspicion that God is not good. The suspicion, the doubt that God is not good. It's It's to say to God, I won't trust you. What you say about yourself. I won't trust what you say in your word. Therefore, when God looks bad, sin looks good. And thankfulness is out the window. No wonder we're told in Isaiah 50, verse 10, who is among you who fears the Lord, that obeys the voice of his servant, that walks in darkness and has no light? Again, there's confusion. We don't understand what's going on. Listen to what God says. Let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely on his God. He wants us to trust him, not doubt him. Second is our own selfishness. Selfishness is saying to God, I don't want your will in my life. I want the things the way that I want them. You see, it's to demand to be in control of our lives, to put our will above God's will. A lot of times we don't like what God is allowing to happen in our life. We don't want God's will. Why? Because we believe our will is going to be what is best. Therefore, whenever God doesn't come through for us, and cooperate with our selfish agenda, even though the things we may want may be fine in and of themselves, we want it this way. When God doesn't come through with our demands, the last thing we have toward him is a thankful heart. Instead, we have the third thing, a critical spirit. Critical spirit. A selfish and demanding person is an angry, critical person. This is directed ultimately at God. Why? Because the buck stops with him. He could change it all if he wanted to. God is all powerful. Ultimately, even though we direct our anger horizontally to people, it's ultimately directed at him. Behind a critical spirit is a sense of entitlement that says of God, how dare you let this happen to me? I deserve better than this. In modern day, commercials feed right into that. You deserve it. I mean, whether it's a different color of hair or whether it's different food or, I mean, you deserve it. It's this critical, pessimistic, judgmental spirit that destroys thankfulness and an attitude of gratefulness. Beloved, as Christians, those of us who are not our own, we have been bought with a price, the price of Christ's blood, 1 Corinthians 6, 19 and 20. We need to continue to remind ourselves of the biblical truth that if we got what we really deserved, things would be a million times worse than whatever we're going through right now. Not to minimize the tragedies. My heart ached. I had a hard time keeping the tears back as I listened to this couple share what they went through. We're not minimizing the pain of living in a fallen world where terrible things happen. But we have got to get perspective and keep our focus on God. If we got what we deserved, it would be far worse than any terrible thing we go through here. We'd be in the lake of fire for all of eternity. We have so much to be thankful for. If these three things hinder a thankful heart, then what engenders an attitude of gratitude is the complete opposite. Instead of doubting God, we're to trust him. God is worthy to be trusted. Why? Just because of who he is. He's God. We're not. He told us to trust him. He doesn't feel obligated to cue us in on what he's doing, to ask our permission before he allows it. He just says, trust me. Instead of selfishness, we're to surrender our will to his, because we come to the place where we realize we want God's will more than anything else. That is what matters most. And many times it's only after God's allowed us to have our will do we finally get to a place where it's like, I'm sick and tired of that. I want your will, because I don't see the big picture. And instead of a critical spirit, we're to have a submissive, non-demanding attitude that will free us to be thankful for whatever God chooses to give us without expecting more. Since thankfulness is the will of God, it's only as we choose to trust and obey him, no matter how we feel, that we will be able to give thanks to him in everything. Are you doing that this morning? Are you giving thanks to him? Be sure as you celebrate Thanksgiving that you pause to take time to tell him how much you love him, how much you thank him for all that he is and all that he has done for you in Jesus Christ. Let's pray. Father, we do come. And